One of the steps on the western side of the Dome of the Rock, leading up to its platform, was not parallel to the platform, impacting the other steps in its series. Rather than being perfectly parallel with the platform, the step was instead exactly opposite the eastern wall of the Temple Mount itself. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 121, The Rock and the Wall. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. What if, as late as the 1970s, one could find on the Temple Mount remnants of the original structure of Ezra and Nehemiah? What if that allows us to understand the layout of the Temple Mount as it once was? One can indeed make such a case, and it is this discovered remnant that may allow us to explain a famous story describing the changing of rulers in Jerusalem. The next major moment in the history of Jerusalem was the Muslim conquest of the Holy Land by the forces of Omar in the year 636 and 637. At the time, Jerusalem's Christians were led by the patriarch Sophronius, who then played a central role in the story told in Muslim tradition, describing what followed, a visit paid by Omar to the Temple Mount, a moment that set the stage for the creation of the Dome of the Rock by Omar's successor, which we will discuss tomorrow. But also playing a role in the story was a Jewish convert to Islam. I cite Simon Montefiore's summary of this story. Quote, Sophronius, say the traditional Muslim sources dating from much later, escorted the Saracen commander to the Holy Sepulchre, hoping his visitor would admire or even embrace the perfect sanctity of Christianity. When Omar's muezzin called his soldiers to prayer, Sophronius invited the commander to pray there, but he is said to have refused, warning that this would make it a place of Islamic worship. Omar knew that Muhammad had revered David and Solomon. Take me to the sanctuary of David, he ordered Sophronius. He and his warriors entered the Temple Mount, probably through the Prophet's Gate in the south, and found it contaminated by a dung heap which the Christians had put there to offend the Jews. Omar asked to be shown to the Holy of Holies. A Jewish convert, Ka'b al-Akhbar, known as the Rabbi, replied that, if the commander preserved the wall, perhaps referring to the last Herodian remains, including the western wall, I will reveal to him where are the ruins of the temple. Ka'b showed Omar the foundation stone of the temple, the rock which the Arabs called the Sakhra. End quote. So Montefiore writes. Again, we must emphasize what we have just read. The convert called the rabbi told Omar that he would show him the site of the temple if Omar promised to preserve the wall. What is this wall to which the story refers? Why was the wall so important? Why would the Jewish convert to Islam have pleaded that it be kept? Now, Montefiore in his book, as you have heard, suggests that the reference may be to the western wall that was part of the remains of the Herodian Temple Mount. The problem with this is that at this point, the western wall of the Herodian Plaza was not a site of devotion. At the time, it was what it was when it was first created by Herod, a retaining wall for the larger site. As we will see, it was only much later that that portion of the western wall became a site of Jewish devotion, when Jews were no longer allowed anywhere in the vicinity atop the Temple Mount itself. Here, in this story, the Jewish convert Ka'b al-Akhbar seemed to be referring to a wall that was apparently near the site of the rock on top of the Temple Mount itself, the rock which for Jews was the traditional site of the Holy of Holies. What then was this wall to which this man referred, whose preservation he requested? We cannot know for sure, but I present a theory today based on the work of one of the great archaeological experts regarding the makeup of the temple, Leon Rittmeyer. As Rittmeyer describes, he began working on this subject while assisting the great Binyamin Mazar on Mazar's excavations surrounding the Temple Mount following the Six-Day War. One of the questions they addressed was the following. We know that originally, during the time of Solomon, as well as in the first part of the Second Temple period, the Temple Mount area was a perfect square. This was, according to Jewish tradition, as designated by the inspired design of David referenced in the Bible. Herod, in turn, expanded the area of the Temple Mount in three directions, north, south, and west, so that today, rather than a square, the plaza is a trapezoid. Even though Herod vastly expanded the Temple Mount space, it was the original square area that, for rabbinic law, remained the mikdash, the area retaining the temple's holiness, endowed with eternal sanctity that existed before Herod rebuilt the area and which would not disappear when Herod's building was destroyed. Tractate Midot, the tractate of measurements that we have described, was written by the rabbis long after Herod created his larger, massive space. Yet this tractate declares that Har HaBayit Chamesh Meot Amah al Chamesh Meot Amah, the Temple Mount is, according to Jewish law, 500 cubits by 500 cubits. Herod expanded the physical temple, but the sanctity of David's blueprint remained within this sacred square. The question then was, if the temple had been expanded in every direction except to the east, if the east wall had not been moved further eastward, then was it possible to retrace the biblical square by finding the original western wall of the square Temple Mount? After all, given that the original Temple Mount was a square and that the position of the eastern wall remains, one need only find a remnant of a wall perfectly parallel to the eastern one around 500 cubits away from it. In an article in Biblical Archaeological Review, whose link we have sent you, Rittmeyer tells us how he began discussing with Mazar the biblical descriptions of the original pre-Herodian Second Temple. He writes, quote, "I remember the moment well. Mazar and I were sitting in his room at the Hebrew University in the spring of 1980. He was reading a passage from Nehemiah 2:8 that referred to beams for the gates of the Bira that related to the temple. What and where is the Bira?" Mazar asked. Little did I suspect that this question would eventually lead to a breakthrough in the understanding of the architectural development of the Temple Mount. "My first reaction to his question," Rittmeyer continues, "was to suggest that the Bira, often mistranslated as palace, might be synonymous with the 500 square cubit measurement given for the Temple Mount in Midot 2:1. So," Mazar followed up, "where is this square?" Rittmeyer continues, "It would have been helpful if we could have asked Charles Warren to join our think tank. But although this was not possible, we did have in our office his album of plans, elevations, sections, etc., which contains detailed plans of the underground structures of the Temple Mount. Armed with this and Mazar's knowledge of the historical sources, we set out to discover the location of this square Temple Mount. The preliminary results were announced by Professor Mazar at the first International Congress on Biblical Archaeology, held in Jerusalem in April 1984. The proposed square-shaped Temple Mount was promptly dubbed the Rittmeyer Square." End quote. We have sent you a link to the Biblical Archaeological Review's diagrams of this remarkable discovery. What Rittmeyer uncovered was that one of the steps on the western side of the Dome of the Rock, leading up to its platform, was not parallel to the platform, impacting the other steps in its series. Rather than being perfectly parallel with the platform, the step was instead exactly opposite the eastern wall of the Temple Mount itself. This led Rittmeyer to suggest that that step was a remnant of the original western wall of the square Temple Mount from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Rittmeyer writes, quote, "Our demonstration begins with a flight of steps leading up from the Temple Mount to what we will call the Muslim platform, the raised area on which the Dome of the Rock is built. 8 flights of steps lead up to the platform on which the Dome of the Rock sits. At the top of each flight of steps is an arcade that marks architecturally the entrance to the Muslim platform. One of these flights of steps is different, however, the one at the northwest corner. Each of the others is parallel to the wall of the Muslim platform where it rises. That is, the bottom step of each staircase is parallel to the wall of the Muslim platform, and this determines the direction of the flight of steps. However, the bottom step of the flight at the northwestern corner of the Muslim platform is not exactly parallel to the wall to which it leads. This was pointed out to me in 1972 by my predecessor at the Temple Mount excavations, the Irish architect Brian Laller. Each higher step on this flight of steps is naturally parallel to the lower one, so the whole flight of steps is a bit off. That is, not exactly parallel to the wall to which it leads. Moreover, the construction of the bottom step is also different. It is made of a single line of large ashlars, in contrast to the other steps of this flight, which are made up of many smaller stones. The southernmost ashlar had, at the time, a visible margin and boss on its front face. Laller had suggested that this bottom step might be the remains of an early ashlar-built wall, which was why it was not parallel to the wall of the Muslim platform. After my talk with Mazar, I returned to this flight of steps and decided that the telltale lower step was a logical starting point for my continued investigation. On this visit, I noticed something else about this bottom step composed of ashlars. It was exactly parallel to the eastern wall of the Temple Mount itself. When Herod enlarged the Temple Mount, he did not change the line of the eastern wall. The steep slope of the Kidron Valley was too close to the existing wall to move it. So the line of the eastern wall was pre-Herodian, perhaps even Solomonic. And now I had a wall, the lowest step on this flight of steps, that was exactly parallel to the eastern wall. End quote. In other words, Rittmeyer seemed to have discovered the step that was actually originally a wall, a remnant of the original western wall of the Temple Mount of Nehemiah and Ezra. Based on later photographs, Rittmeyer also noticed that the step clearly contained features that were pre-Herodian, or as he put it, quote, it looked very much like the lowest masonry in the central section of the eastern wall of the Temple Mount, near the Golden Gate. I therefore proposed that this step was actually a section of a wall, part of the western wall of the pre-Herodian, perhaps first temple period, Temple Mount, end quote. So Rittmeyer writes, I, in turn, would suggest that perhaps this was the wall to which the story of Omar on the Temple Mount refers. For consider, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy of Holies was located on the western part of the Temple Mount, and a western wall of the original Temple Mount Square would have marked an area incredibly close to where the Holy of Holies had been built, and therefore would no doubt have served as a site of Jewish devotion. When Rittmeyer first visited in the 1970s, a very small remnant of what seemed to be that original wall remained. It was only part of a staircase at that point. But when Omar ascended with the Jewish convert called the rabbi over 1,000 years earlier, that wall might well have been there. And it's only natural that the guide instructing Omar as to the site of the temple would have pleaded for this remnant to remain. It is worth noting that after discovering this step originally and deducing from it that this was a remnant as late as 1972 of the original Temple Mount of Ezra and Nehemiah, many of Rittmeyer's later reflections about the step were based only on photos because, as he wrote, quote, on that later visit to the flight of steps, the sides of the ashlars that comprised the lowest step were no longer visible, end quote. This reminds us that the banning of true Jewish access to the mount has led not only to a prevention of Jewish prayer, but also to a loss of ability to discover what was on the mount when Jews fully worshipped there. We can, however, follow Rittmeyer's example to do the best we can to rediscover the history of all that occurred on that site. And we can allow the devotion of Jews of the past to that sacred place to impact our own perspective in the future. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.